It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at our most recent upcoming guest and our most recent podcast. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. You have a purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this time. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Friday. Happy Friday, Steve.
Happy Friday to you. I can participate on Friday.
On that one. Can you believe how fast time goes? It seems like I was just sitting down and it was Monday morning. It'll be Monday morning again here. But with so much that we have to do and the days are so full, it's just so fast how time goes by so quickly, Steve.
I have a morning chore here. I do it because it's a commentary, I guess, that's very dated. It's probably produced the night before and shipped out, you know, on a situation, something that happened yesterday, and it's actually going to be played today. And I look at that on a Monday, you know, they're all dated, you know, the days of the week, and I just watch
how quickly. So when you say dated, it has the date on it. You're not saying it's dated, but it has the date on it, right? That's what you mean?
Well, what am I trying to say? It's something that happened within the last 24 hours, and now it's going to be played out today. And I get to the end of the week, I get to Friday, and I just stare at it. It's like, how did we fill that screen up so fast?
It is amazing. And so that means Sunday is just 2 days from now. And that is when we air our show, America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. It's on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM. Always like to remind people we have the FM station as well from 3 to 4 p.m. And we are doing this series, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. 10 Vietnam veterans contributed a chapter each to this book. We're interviewing almost all of the authors. I think there's one gentleman who says, you know, I don't think I really want to come on air. And I always honor that, Steve. When a veteran seems that they don't want to come on, we certainly want to honor that. But you are hearing the stories of 9 of these guys, plus Colonel Fisher, who really compiled the book. And these, I am learning so much about the Vietnam War. I would recommend that everyone get this book and then also make sure that high school and college students read it as well. And this week we're talking with Vietnam veterans, Marine John Decker and Navy Corpsman Denny Sedlak, and of course Paula Sarles, who is working to raise the money to remodel the Marine Memorial out in Golden, Colorado, so that we honor our veterans the way we really should be. And I just love this show. It's just on my heart to do it.
I finished Denny's portion of the book yesterday and then about to go into the next contributor. But, we don't have the time here to really dive deep into it. But I swear, thinking back now on what we know about World War II and then what happened in Korea, and you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and then wading into Vietnam, that swamp, there were just some things I'm not sure that were very well thought out.
Well, and it's so important to understand history. So again, check that out on Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. And one of the great reasons that we are on the air is all of you that are contributing, everyone that supports us, all of these great sponsors. Hooters Restaurant is one of my great sponsors. They have 5 locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have to-go specials, dine-in specials. You can find all those specials on my website. But when Paula Sarles and I was talking the other day as we were recording for America's Veteran Stories, She said a friend of hers who is a colonel listening to the show decided to go over to Hooters with a number of her friends just recently, and they had a great time. And so be sure and check out Hooters on my website, and certainly patronize every one of those businesses on there, because they are such great sponsorship partners of mine as well. And again, there's great specials over there. Let's get to the quote for today, Steve. And just interesting, while we're preparing for this, I saw that Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina is going to deliver the response to Joe Biden's speech very soon. That should be interesting. But he is actually, I had chosen Tim Scott as our quote of the day. And he was born in 1965. He's an American politician and businessman, serving as the junior United States Senator for South Carolina since 2013. He's a Republican. He was appointed to the U.S. Senate by Governor Nikki Haley at the time in 2013. He retained his seat after winning a special election in 2014 and was elected to a full term in 2016. And the quote that I have at the very end of the show, you won't want to miss that, but he said this. He said, I think you hear, at least as an undertone, and it's going to grow louder, is that we believe that capitalism is the mantra of the day, and anything that creeps towards socialism is a problem. You think, Steve?
I get it, and you get it, and Tim Scott gets it, but how many other people understand what he's saying?
You know, with what is happening with the Democrat Party, and again, my friends, I would recommend that you explain to your Democrat friends that this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK nor of your grandpa and grandma. This is now, it's been taken over by radical activists, regressives, who are pushing forward a Marxist agenda. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And I think that this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption was maybe getting us ready for the next thing that they say is threatening mankind. Of course, the people that are concerned about, I guess they're not really worried about threatening mankind, are they, Steve? They're worried about threatening the earth. And when we have people that put the earth above the flourishing of humankind, you can see right there, you've got a problem. You're part of humankind. You're part of the human race. And that's one of our duties, is to help humans thrive and flourish and prosper, all within being good stewards. There we go. Good stewards of our earth. But first and foremost, we have to value human life, Steve.
Well, they're going after the most broadest common denominator, and that's our humanity and the fact that we're all standing on this earth. So let's drum up a lot of stuff about the earth and the potential dangers that are out there and get everybody stirred up. But to your point regarding the Democratic Party not being, you know, the party of JFK, their whole approach for the last 20 years or more has been like that of a Trojan horse. Yeah, we're the Democratic Party, and well, yeah, okay, but we also know there's another level here that we don't see readily.
Well, we are seeing that, and we don't like what we see. It's been percolating underneath the surface since the 1980s, and in the war of language, in the war of narrative, I encourage you not to use the word Democratic when you are referring to this Democrat Party. There's nothing Democratic about that. People seem to like that word Democratic, but they are not Democratic, so I really encourage you to use the word Democrat. Let's move over to our bill of the day. It's Senate Bill 21-244. It's funding health benefits for legislative aides. And the bill summary says this. The bill amends Senate Bill 21-196, the bill that provides appropriations for the legislative branch for the 2021-22 state fiscal year, to increase the funding for and full-time employee allocated to the General Assembly to allow the General Assembly to provide health benefits for legislative aides. And at this point, it looks like the fiscal note is about $617,000. John Caldera wrote an op-ed on this, and basically what it looks like is it is going to grow, he says, Colorado's political class. And in essence, we are supposed to have a part-time citizen legislature. This now can expand the legislature, those that are there. It expands getting paid to their aides. And the aides only work, I think he said, really about 43 days a year, but they for the legislature, for the things, for the people. But there's 365 days in a year. The balance of that time they can be using to campaign for the people that they are working with. And so in essence, it establishes probably a full-time legislature where people are using taxpayer dollars to pay people to help them get reelected. And it looks like the swamp, and it seems like we are the petri dish for all this stuff, but the swamp that's in Washington, the Democrats in Colorado want to bring it here as well. And that's why election integrity is so important. And there are people that are going to work on this. And there's going to be a hearing tomorrow on election integrity. And let me just see the details on it. Initially, it was going to be down at the Independence Institute and virtual. And now it looks like they may be changing the location. We don't have new information on that, but you might check out Kevin Lundberg's website on that. But it is going to grow Colorado's political class. That is not something we need to do, Steve.
Well, you know it. I know it. Many people know it. Trump had many successful things out there that he put in place to help people see the bigger picture. Probably one of the most successful is the, you know, using the word swamp, you know, as an allegory or a word picture. And, you know, you just said it too. We are seem bound and determined to have a Colorado chapter of the swamp, and it's going to be right between the Capitol building and the city and county building.
Yeah, it's all right down there, and we must push back on this. We've got to get back to a citizen legislature, and also the Democrats have been just brilliant through their non-governmental organizations, and all the bureaucrats that we have, that they have figured out how to get paid and make a living and get pensions off the taxpayer, and then continue to grow their part of government. We've got to push back on that. Very quickly, I wanted to give you a feel-good story. This is from the Epoch Times. And there is, Nathan Edge has been blind, partially blind since he was 6, and then completely lost his eyesight at the age of 18. He's 26 now, and he has gotten married, and he and his wife are expecting a baby. And they'd gone in for the ultrasound, and obviously since he was blind, he could not see that. And so what happened is his wife and a friend decided, and they had this great idea that the friend would embroider the actual ultrasound picture of the baby so that he could feel that. And that is what they've been doing with those ultrasound pictures. And do you not just, it just warms my heart to hear this story, Steve.
Yeah, I spotted it yesterday, and I thought, wow, the things that can be done today, and you know, the people that can be helped to just see life in a normal way when they're otherwise inhibited.
And so that's a feel-good story. People are creative, and life is going on, and wanted to share that with you. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio. And as Patty and I were talking about it, we're not calling the vaccine anymore. We're calling it the experimental drug because that's exactly what it is. So we'll be talking with Jill about the experimental drug passports, and then segments 3 and 4, Hal Van Herke, who is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, will chat with him about what is going on with small businesses and Polis pulling back the dial dictates. So stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's KimMunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. And you know her. She's one of the few people in the country that read the complete Unaffordable Care Act. And so she is a healthcare expert. And Dr. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about the experimental drug jab that there's such a movement to try to get people to take. And interestingly enough, the Denver Channel just recently reported that the University of Denver is going to require all undergraduate and graduate students living, learning, or working on campus to be fully experimentally drugged, jabbed, or also known as vaccinated, for the COVID-19 for fall 2021. That's almost like a vaccine passport. I am so concerned about this, Jill.
Exactly. So I've done a bunch of research, and I'm going to still call it a vaccine passport because if you search online, that's what you're going to look at. You're going to find all kinds of articles. Now, the Colorado Sun did a really good article that was early in April talking about what is and is not allowed. What can the government really force us to do when it comes to a vaccine? Can they really limit our movement? Can they limit our entry into public places? And they could. And they always say, you still have a choice. You have the choice not to get the vaccine. But if you choose not to get the vaccine, then you're going to be punished by not being able to go to a public event, go to a government facility, get on an airplane. And the airlines and private businesses, just like in University of Denver, can require whatever they want. Hospitals can require, like they do to the flu vaccine. So this is, understand, folks, that this is not a new thing. They have been doing this with the flu vaccine since Obama got in office.
But and this is what I find.
2012, they have been requiring, like hospitals have been requiring healthcare workers, even if they're low risk for dying of the flu, they've been requiring healthcare workers to get a flu vaccine every year. And if you don't get it, then you are punished by having to wear a mask all day, every day, regardless of whether you're sick, regardless of whether you've been exposed by somebody that's sick. You have to wear that mask from October through March, every day, all day at work.
Okay, Joe, how long have you been practicing medicine?
25 years of being a physician, right, when I graduated. So practicing medicine for 4 years longer. But
okay, so you just said that this vaccine requirement for the flu vaccine occurred under the Obama administration, correct? It wasn't really. And when we talk about force,
there was never a mandate before. It was always voluntary, and we only recommended vaccinating the very young and the very old because they were the people most at risk for dying from the flu, but it was never required. It was never mandated. It was recommended. And everybody in between, which is the majority of the population, you weren't expected to get the vaccine. It wasn't recommended that you, it wasn't even suggested that you get the vaccine. Obama changed all of that.
Wow. And if I remember right, the efficacy of the flu vaccine is, it seems like you told me it was in the 50 to 60% range. Is that right?
Oh, no. For the elderly, it varies because the flu, just like COVID, okay, this is not all new, folks. And we've been saying this for a year now. The flu vaccine is only 74% effective for the flu. So now why all of a sudden do we believe that a COVID vaccine, when COVID is an RNA virus, highly mutational? Now I just read this morning that there's some triple mutation occurring in India or something, and that's causing these big spikes. There are all these mutations. Why is it that everybody's jump on this COVID vaccine when now the companies, wake up, folks, 6 months they're going to recommend a booster shot or a new vaccine. And every year you're going to have a new COVID vaccine. So now you're going to have a passport that's got more stamps in it than your regular passport for all your vaccines you got, right? And you can't get into another country without this. it's step back, folks. Don't get buried in the weeds. Step back and go, why? Ask why.
It's astonishing now. Papers, please. And Jen Psaki, Biden's press secretary, she's, I think a lot of people took some comfort. She said, oh, we're not going to force people to do this. But what they're doing is they are coercing all of these other businesses and these schools and allowing them to coerce or force people to do that. So they're doing the government's bidding. And then, and this has been from a free market standpoint, Brad Beck and I were talking about this, is because I do believe that businesses have the right to determine who they serve, who they don't serve, and then competition, a new business will pop up or whatever. But once you have coercion working with businesses to force people to do something, that is just as bad as government force, Jill.
Well, yes, absolutely, and but they will always say that you have the choice. So you can do it, or you can just not go to your business. And that's true. We always have that choice. How many lawsuits are filed because someone feels uncomfortable at their workplace? Well, you can always quit and go somewhere else. Why are you filing a lawsuit? This will go through the court system like everything else. I want to back up for a second, because you and I went up to a wonderful group talking about political issues, and we talked about COVID at somebody's home, and they sent me a whole bunch, like, what, 2 pages of questions that their members had submitted, the people that are going to attend or couldn't make it, but they wanted me to address about COVID. What was remarkable, when we're focusing on this vaccine thing, I just want to keep reminding people, what's remarkable is there wasn't a single question about treatment. Nobody asked anything about treatment. We discussed treatment, and we had multiple examples of people, anecdotal stories of patients not being offered treatment when they were sick with COVID. Think about it, people. We have treatments that have been proven to be effective for COVID. The information about them, the studies are there, but they're being suppressed. Why? Why do they want everybody in the world to have a vaccine when their risk of dying from this is less than 1% in most cases, and they're still pushing for these people to be vaccinated? Now we've got mutations, which we knew would happen, multiple vaccinations, and now these mutations may not be covered, may not be protected by the vaccine. Step back,
okay,
folks. Stop letting yourself get sucked into this.
Now, and we have just 2 minutes left, Jill, but a lot of people that I know, people that have been very concerned about COVID, people have gotten the vaccine, and I think we want people to understand that that should be your choice as well, and we are not making any kind of a judgment on that. We're just saying be informed. I think that's the bottom line. Your final thought, Jill?
Yes, be informed. Go to Robert F. Kennedy's website. Watch some YouTube videos with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's phenomenal. That will show you why there are so many of us that are questioning this. And in a Colorado Department of Health survey done in April, I think, early April, 51% of Coloradoans either wanted to wait to see what the long-term effects of this were, of the vaccine before they got it. So like 49% couldn't wait to get the vaccine. The rest of Colorado is going, hold on, folks. We don't know enough.
I actually think that number's probably higher, because we know that we see the numbers typically cook the books for the narrative that they want out there.
Right.
Oh, boy. Dr. Jill, it always goes so quickly when you're on. And I know that you're doing a lot of research on the change in HIPAA requirements. And hopefully we'll have more information about that next week when you're on the air again. So thank you so much. I so greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. And let's jump over here to Jason McBride. You know him. He is a senior VP with Prudential Wealth Management. And Jason, we've been talking about annuity checkups. And Patty and I were chatting yesterday, and we were listening to the news. There's so many unknowns out there. But even with that, seems overwhelming. It is important to know what you have, know where you need to go. And right now, these annuity checkups, you've been doing a number of them, and it's been really helpful for people, because knowledge is power, Jason.
Well, it sure is, Kim, and annuities get a bad rap. Sometimes they are a little bit complex. That doesn't always make them bad, but I find a lot of times, Kim, folks may be invested in an annuity many, many years ago, maybe have kind of forgotten, you know, the features that they have with it or exactly how it works, and, you know, kind of get the feeling maybe it's not any good. You know, it does happen sometimes when you forget why you did something in the first place. I'll tell you.
There are some things I'd like to forget that I did them in the first place. But
well, anyway. Steve agrees. There's a lot of things he said you've done that he wishes he could forget. When I have people come in to my office, Kim, and we really dig into these and call the company, whatever we need to do to figure out all the bells, the whistles, what is the cost, what is the benefit for what you're paying for, about 3 out of 4 times I find that people are actually pretty happy when they figure out what they have. Sometimes they're not happy and they may want to do something different, but this is just designed to give you more knowledge, more information. I promise this isn't some way to get you in just to scare you and tell you what you have is terrible, and oh, the only way to solve that is to move the money over to me at Presidential. I will not do that to folks, Kim. It really is just come in. Let's arm you with information. If you find that helpful and you decide you might want to do some business with me, I'm not going to complain about that. But I promise there's no high pressure or any sales tactics that are going to be uncomfortable. I just want to try and help.
And knowledge really is power. People need to understand where they are. And again, Jason, there's so many unknowns out there. What's the tax rate going to be? What's going to happen in capital gains? All of those different things. But sitting down, making sure you know where you are is super, super important. How can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Well, make an appointment for this or any other questions that you might have. Just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Well, Jason McBride, you have a great weekend. We will talk to you again on Monday.
You too, Kim.
And we will be right back with Hal Van Herkey, entrepreneur and owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air, helping you get your brain around these issues and looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I get to work with some really amazing partners on this show. One of my sponsorship partners is Castlegate 9. Knife and Tool. That is Hal and Linnea Van Herke. They are entrepreneurs. Castlegate Knife and Tool is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal Van Herke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's good to be here. And for some reason, that freedom versus force, which has been your tagline for a long time, just kind of resonated with me today. So hopefully get a chance to talk about that a little bit.
Well, before we get to that, though, let's let people know you, Castlegate Knife and Tool, has one of the most extensive collections of knives to choose from, knives and tools to choose from west of the Mississippi. And although the website, I'd highly recommend people check that out, castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. It's really great to actually go down to Sedalia and visit the store as well.
Yeah, we try to make sure that we have a very large selection of knives on display, which is unique in today's world, and give you a chance to go down and look and see what's right for you. And that ranges from outdoor knives, specialty knives for specialty sports like fishing, camping, hunting, etc., as well as an increasing selection of kitchen knives and other tools that you can use, you know, from the various ranges of utility, like bladed tools such as axes and tomahawks and things like that. Throwing knives for sport, throwing axes for sport, a variety of things. We try to keep on top of anything that's an edged or bladed tool that might be useful for you.
And again, that website is castlegate.com, and you offer a discount to our military personnel, veterans, and first responders all day, every day, and because you're a veteran, Hal Van Herke.
Yeah, so we do respect the sacrifice and service and the bravery of our first responders, whether it's current military, prior service military, or a paramedic that's going out on calls at night, every night, and not knowing what they're going to face on the other side of that call. So we have, we always give a 10% discount on everything in the store. And if you come into the store, show us your ID, you'll get the discount. If you want to get it through the website, we usually ask you to send us a copy of your ID, or if you have a veteran tag, a veteran indication on your driver's license or something, that's good enough. Then we send you a unique code to give you access to discounts on the website.
Well, and Hal Van Herke, Father's Day is really not that far off. I guess it's a couple of months, but as people are starting to think about what they're going to get their father for Father's Day or their husband for Father's Day, Castlegate Knife and Tool would be a great place to go for a gift for that.
I appreciate you saying that, and it's also a good place to shop for Mother's Day as well. And so the I think it's a good place to shop for anything, knives in general, and I'm not just saying this because I own a knife store. But knives in general are a good gift for people who you can't think of what else to give. We hear that a lot about, I didn't know what to give, and now they're going to be so excited with this or that that they picked up because you don't see them in the selection that we have in every store. Usually somebody has a spot in their set of knives that they could use an additional blade or something else, and they last forever, so they make good keepsakes. You know,
right.
You can remember who gave it to them. Yep.
I love that. I love to give gifts that people can remember. So let's jump over here, though. Hal, because you're an entrepreneur, a small business, you really stay on top of that. And I wanted to talk with you today, just generally, what are you seeing regarding small business, mid-sized business here in Colorado?
Yeah, so I kind of had some opportunities recently to have a hands-on and eyes-on view of what's going around. I've been driving around various parts of the broader Denver metro area looking for possible additional business opportunities and retail expansions, et cetera, not only with our knife business, but other businesses that I own. And the general observation that I have, just judging from the businesses I've talked to, the activity going around, I'm looking specifically at small businesses and local businesses, which is what I care the most about, is a general sense of feeling like that they're starting to come out of this COVID cloud and the government crackdowns and the government lockdowns. And there seems to be a general sense for the ones that survived, that now's the time that they can reliably start to reopen, re-engage, start to spend money on regrowing their business, reinvesting in their business, and that there's kind of a general sense of the worst of the waves in terms of the COVID rounds and variants, et cetera, and the government lockdowns, especially that were harmful to small business, are behind them, and it's time to start rebuilding. So there's that sense of rebuilding, sense of positive energy around the ones that have survived and have enough financial resources to do something about it. So that's very good. I know a lot of people that are launching food trucks. I know a lot of people who are launching new product lines or services in their business, continuing to evolve their businesses the way they were just before COVID put everything on pause. A lot of women are starting businesses, which is a trend that was going on in Colorado before this all happened. And so positive aspects in that regard.
As we were doing our pre-call, you mentioned something about retail space, which I found fascinating. What's your observation on that, Hal Van Herke?
You know, that I will say that in my business is based in Douglas County, and it's almost impossible, for example, to find any quality retail space in Douglas County or industrial space in Douglas County at an affordable price. The market is pretty much maxed out, so that what's left is either not of high quality or is very premium price, and which is a good sign in terms of the overall business health of the county. I did notice as I drove through other parts of the Denver metro area, such as cities like Littleton, Lakewood, et cetera, that they're starting to rebound and looking popular. Some of the older neighborhoods in Lakewood, example, are really booming. But I didn't notice the same sense, and I'm not just trying to be political about this, but just in general, the businesses in Aurora and Denver tend to be a little bit behind in terms of feeling like they're coming out of this. And you can go through a large swath of Aurora and Denver and see all kinds of business locations, retail locations, industrial locations that are vacant and are available that are not available in some of these other communities. And part of that is due to demographics. Part of that's based on neighborhood stages of revival, et cetera, demographics, poverty levels, et cetera. But I can't help but think that some of that's also based on long-term impacts of government policies and current impacts of government policies. So it is like driving to two different countries almost, depending on what county you go to in terms of the climate of the small business activity and the enthusiasm. So it's a little interesting.
Well, and Hal, as we began this, you said that you wanted to mention something about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and you're alluding to really government force, government policy. So what was your comments on that?
Yeah, it's not so much just only in the impact against business, but just in general. I'm going to go back to, there's a big debate going on right now in Colorado and around the country on gun restrictions again. And it just, I've seen a lot of talk. Colorado just passed a couple of bills. Biden's been very vocal recently. And I see a lot of talk about this being gun control advocates against gun rights advocates. And it just occurred to me that that's a ridiculous pairing of words, because there's guns don't have rights. Guns don't have rights. So who is a gun rights advocate? And a gun rights advocate is really a freedom advocate, and the gun control people are the force advocates. And that's just, it just struck me that we keep, on the conservative side, we keep allowing ourselves to get pigeonholed into semantics and word pairings that the left chooses, and that are just ridiculous. If somebody's going to vote on the difference between human rights and gun rights, I think that most people are going to vote for human rights. It's not that simple. We are, really, it's freedom versus force. Those who believe that the government should control everything should have the only guns, the only force, the only ability to do, defend themselves or defend people. They want to take that away from individuals and put that into the hands of government while they're simultaneously reducing police forces and villainizing law enforcement. Vilifying, I don't think villainizing is a word. But then, at the same time, we're saying, well, we're gun rights advocates. And like, no, we're freedom advocates. We're individual freedom activists. We're human rights activist in terms of the right to defend yourself and to defend your freedom. So it just struck me today that, you know, you have it squared off. That's the way it should be. In today's world, it's really freedom, the advocates of freedom versus the advocates of continued force and control, enforcing their individual will on others through legislation. So that is really the paradigm of our time.
And you've really nailed it also, Hal Van Herky, and that is we are in this battle of language right now. And we have to be very, very careful about that. And we need to start to recapture language, recapture narrative. The word conservative from political terms has been painted for many, many years in a bad light, if you will. But conservative, conserving energy, conserving water, all those things seem responsible. And conserving this idea of the American founding, this idea that all men are created equal by God with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that is worth conserving. And that is why that word conservative in political terms for what it really means, I think, is a very important word. And we need to continue, as you mentioned here, be in that battle of the narrative. And that's what we do on a regular basis on the show. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. Why don't we go ahead and do that, Hal Van Herky? And when we come back, there's some things that I want to talk with you about regarding small business. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we engage in the battle of ideas, the battle of the narrative, looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I get to work with some really great sponsorship partnership partners, and one of them is on the line. That is Hal Van Herky. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. And be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com for their website. Hal, the conversations always go way too quickly, and they are so rich when you are on the show. So let's continue on here. As we were doing our kind of our pre-call, you mentioned that here in Douglas County that things seem to be opening up. We start to see that in some of the other metro cities as well. But there's some headwinds that can be possibly challenging for our small to mid-sized businesses. What do you see those as being, Hal Van Herky?
Yeah, so in general terms, a couple that I wanted to focus on today as we're talking is the first one is that we generally have an anti-business legislative climate at the state capitol. Frankly, there's just a lot of people within our state house and state senate that have very little understanding about how business works or how small business works or how the impact of their legislation affects small business. The other headwind, which we can talk about in a little bit after that, is that in general, the increasing consensus about rising inflation due to the amount of money printing that we've been doing to re-stimulate the economy. And so I think that those are two areas that small business owners in particular have to be aware of, and people who are interested in supporting small business need to be thinking about as well.
a couple of the bills that have, I mean, there has been a whole bunch of things that have been proposed down at the State House that hurt business, but there were two big ones that jumped out at you, Hal Van Herky. The first one was the Senate Bill 176, and this is basically where employees can make a claim or make an accusation against their employer and not have to go through the normal procedures regarding that particular claim, which is going to make it very difficult for employers. And then the other, and that was, Senate Bill 176, and then House Bill 1232, which would be move us towards a single-payer health insurance system here in Colorado. So which one do you want to bite off first, Hal Van Herky?
I'm going to talk about the set. We'll take them in that order, Senate Bill 176. And some of what I'm, as I'm looking around, frankly, there's so many things coming from the State House that you can't talk about or focus on them all at once. So I kind of just try to pick the ones that are coming up and are active or about to become active and heading toward a vote, because some of the, you know, there's a long list of these, you know, incrementally damaging business climate bills that are, you know, in the process. But these are two that are ramping up to be, you know, heading toward decisions, et cetera. Senate Bill 176 allows people who are allegedly aggrieved by their employer to bypass the Colorado civil rights process and directly file a civil action against an employer in any court of their choosing. And so that, you know, sounds simple on its face, and pro freedom, pro human rights, et cetera. But the reality is, what this, the way it's worded is it opens up every employer in Colorado to having an employee sue you for any transgression that they feel like violated their sense of well-being, their individuality, their self-identification, et cetera. So you could be sued just for having put somebody in a bad mood for 2 weeks in a row. You know, so it's very vague as to what you can be sued by. And the reason why we have the civil rights process that we do is that they wanted to protect small businesses from just random accusations of frustration by an employee couched in the terms of civil rights that carries a lot more heavy meaning and is much more serious. So essentially, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission screens these things, and if they find that you have violated as an employer, in fact, you are violating that, the penalties become increasingly severe, and the Colorado Civil Rights Commission put their weight behind the support of that individual. What this would do, which is allow anybody to just decide if they still want to use that process or they just want to sue you on their own regardless, and then you're facing not just a civil suit, but a potential civil rights violation, which is extensively it's going to cost you an enormous amount of money to defend that in court, because the risk of losing that is substantial. Probably run the risk of losing your business. So that's Senate Bill 176, and the National Federation of Independent Business came out on April 19th strongly opposing that bill. And then the second one is House Bill 1232, which has received a lot more attention anyway, which is the idea to create a government-run health insurance option within Colorado. And the way this is worded, it runs a very severe risk of turning Colorado into a single-payer state and a single-payer system, because it does call on private insurance companies to bear the costs and the burden of the public option. And almost all of those private insurance plans are funded by business. So the cost of insurance from your employer, small business, large business, or otherwise, is going to substantially increase to the point where the small business will no longer be able to afford to provide you with quality insurance, and you're going to be, as they continue to drop that insurance, you're going to be forced into the government single-payer program. And this is something that is also viewed by the small business community as detrimental to small business in terms of increasing costs, reduced option. No longer can employee businesses provide high-quality insurance as an incentive to recruit and retain the top talented employees. Everything will be leveled in terms of the playing field, and the cost for everyone will continue to just go up as the government-controlled mandate eliminates competition.
Remember, Hal Van Herky, when government gets in the business of trying to level the playing field, what happens is everybody becomes equal in their misery. And so when government becomes involved in this, you mentioned this, the cost increases, the supply becomes limited, and the quality goes down on people's health care. And they've been renaming this. They've been putting ballot questions, and those have been defeated. Coloradans have said that they don't want it, but they're back again. And those sponsors on that are Senators Faith Winter and Brittany Pedersen. They are both Democrats. And then Representatives Susan Lantine and Matt Gray, both Democrats there as well. And they just keep coming back at that. I'm concerned about this. What are you hearing, whether or not this is actually going to become law, or what have you heard?
I think it's going to come down. You know, my feeling is, and I'm not one who spends every day watching what's going on. I just try to stay in touch with my local representatives. I have my state House representative and state senator on a first name basis for a reason. But I think that this is very likely to pass both the House and the Senate, and I think that's going to come down to poll us. I think that if you try to find something positive to say about Governor Polis, which some days I feel like is hard, but he does still have a sense because he grew up and became wealthy through the success of family-owned businesses. He still does have a sense about, he has a little bit of sense remaining in him about what an impact of the bill will do to small business. And he has in the past squashed some of these bills by indicating in advance that he would veto them. And I think that, unfortunately, that's going to be where this one probably ends up. And he's going to be under an enormous amount of pressure from the left to pass this health care for all, is how it will be couched by the time it hits his desk, versus doing something that he knows is going to be damaging for business. But I don't know if any other, I don't see very many Democrats shifting sides on this one so far. You know, I think it's very hard for them to break out of their tribal expectations to do that.
I totally agree. And that would be really awesome if Governor Polis would veto this, or with a threat of a veto, to get rid of this. Because, again, your health care, the quality will go down, the cost will increase, and the supply will become limited on that. And when we talk about the cost increasing, people may not actually be paying a premium that they're seeing. I mean, they may have that hidden a little bit, but the cost will go up, Hal Van Herky.
Yeah, the costs go up everywhere. One way or another, the costs are going to go up. That's typically what we see. That's why many of us, like myself, are small government advocates versus large government advocates, is we just don't see the efficiency in government. And the way it'll leak out is in higher taxes. If nothing else, you'll have higher taxes on the insurance pools, on the employer, to subsidize the increased cost of administration, et cetera. You'll see higher prices on your plans yourself that you're paying and your employer is subsidizing as competition is reduced and nobody has an incentive to reduce price. You'll first see probably the private plans increase their price. And once the government sees the private plans increasing their price, they know they have that cushion, they'll raise price as well under the guise of expanding services or expanding the quality of the plan. But typically in government, you don't see those benefits down the road. You just see the increased price.
So, right,
you can already lay out step by step how this is going to go if you have watched history over the last several decades.
Yeah, and it seems like Colorado is at the tip of the spear with all the stuff that they're trying to push through. What's your final thought, Hal, that you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Just in general, I mean, all, you know, political stance, from a political standpoint, I'm not very optimistic in terms of Colorado's direction. We seem to be heading more and more progressive and far left as we go. I like to say that we're California's little plaything. They test everything out here first to see how it's going to go. They fund it. They fund the politicians, and then if it works here, they spread it around everywhere. But overall, I still think that, taking politics aside, from an economics perspective, we seem to be heading into a positive positive turn for Colorado. Our economy did not grow as much as other economies over the last couple of years. We went from being one of the leading economies to one of the lagging economies in the country. But I'm hoping that we have a positive turn coming forward. I think we have to watch out for inflationary pressures coming in the near term, and small business owners should probably be looking to get things like their financing and stuff squared away now, purchasing and increasing inventory stocks if they can before prices increase, et cetera. But maybe we'll talk about that some other time when I'm on the show.
Sounds great. Hal Van Herke, I so appreciate your sponsorship partnership and always learn so much when you're on the show.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it. Joy to be here.
And be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com, and that's Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal Van Herke, a great sponsor of the show. And our quote for today is from Tim Scott. Since Hal was on the show, I thought this was really important. Senator Scott said this. He says, if you look at the fact that the best chance we have for a good economy is the private sector, the government cannot create jobs. If the government could create jobs, then communism would have worked. But it didn't work. So what we have to do is allow the private sector and the entrepreneurial spirit to lead us back to a job-filled recovery. So my friends today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.